freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo as long as we are led by politicians who will not put America first. Then we can be assured that other nations will not treat America with respect, the respect that we deserve.
And GOP Josh is a young conservative influence with a lot of power.
You're listening to the voice of the future, fighting for America every day. This is the Conservative Crusader. And here's your host, GOP Josh.
Hello and welcome. No, it's not April Fools. We are back. Welcome in. This is the Conservative Crusader. Appreciate you all joining us today. GOPJosh.com, your home for all things GOP Josh. You want to find my X page, go to x.gopjosh.com, facebook.gopjosh.com. All the platforms are available over at gopjosh.com. Well, I appreciate you all joining us today as we kind of talk about what's happened over the past couple months, because this show went from being three times a week to being very infrequent for a while, and I do apologize for that. A lot of stuff has happened over the past few weeks. Obviously, the Ohio primary has happened. The Teenage Republicans of Ohio, of which I am chairman, had a very successful, great night with results where we had a lot of victories of our endorsed candidates and of our Teenage Republican-backed people across the states. Had a lot of victories. U.S. Senate race, obviously a victory. 12th District Court of Appeals, Melina Siebert, guest of this program, narrowly won that race. Friend of the show, Brian Stewart, won his state representative's seat. Just overall great night on March 19th for our Republican candidates. Since we've done the program last, Ronna McDaniel is no longer the chairwoman of the Republican Party. That's big news, and that's a good thing. Just a lot of stuff has happened since we've done the show, and I'm excited to be back behind the microphone here if I remember how to do everything and get this out. But we're back. If you want to support the show, help make it possible more often, and help us actually keep the show going, you can support us over on Patreon. Patreon.com/GOPJosh is the best way to support the program. All right, so let's hop into the news, shall we? It feels good to finally do this again. So let's talk about this Transgender Day of Visibility, because would it really be a program in 2024 if we were not talking about people that cannot accept who God created them? Yesterday was Easter. Hope you had a great Easter. Once again, this is not an April Fool's joke. We are back and better than ever. Maybe not better than ever, but we're back. March 31st, apparently for years, has been a Transgender Day of Visibility, as the White House has declared it. And Joe Biden declared that March 31st, yesterday, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, whatever you want to call it, was Transgender Day of Visibility. Devout Catholic, apparently, Joe Biden, Transgender Day of Visibility. So let's talk about here from the NBC News, who hired Ronna McDaniel and then fired Ronna McDaniel like 3 minutes later. It was hilarious. President Joe Biden is facing criticism from Donald Trump's campaign and religious conservatives for proclaiming March 31st, which corresponds with Easter Sunday this year, as Transgender Day of Visibility, calling, quote, all Americans to join us in lifting up the lives and voices of transgender people throughout our nation and to work toward eliminating violence and discrimination based on gender identity. But in 2024, the March 31st designation overlaps with Easter, one of Christianity's holiest celebrations. Trump's campaign accused Biden, a Roman Catholic, of being insensitive to religion, and fellow Republicans piled on. We call on Joe Biden's failing campaign and White House to issue an apology to the millions of Catholics and Christians across America who believe tomorrow is for one celebration only, the resurrection. The page just left. Oh, here it is. Of Jesus Christ, Caroline Leavitt, the Trump campaign's press secretary, said. She said what she called the Biden administration's years-long assault on the Christian faith. House Speaker Mike Johnson, who is becoming worse and worse every day, did something good, said on social media that the White House has betrayed the central tenet of Easter and called the decision outrageous and abhorrent. White House spokesperson Andrew Bates said Republicans are seeking to divide and weaken our country with cruel, hateful, and dishonest rhetoric. As a Christian who celebrates Easter with family, President Biden stands for bringing people together and upholding the dignity and freedoms of every American. President Biden will never abuse his faith for political purposes or for profit. So I understand if they claim this fake holiday that shouldn't exist, shouldn't be recognized, happens every single year on the same day. That's one thing. But the amount of Democratic politicians that put out a weak statement about Easter, saying, oh, happy Easter, enjoy your candy, and then made 2-3-4-minute long videos declaring how important Transgender Day of Visibility is abhorrent. Gretchen Whitmer, Michigan, one of them, where she made, I think it was a 2-minute video about how grateful she is that Transgender Day of Visibility can be separated in this amazing country we have where we honor and respect our transgender individuals. And then they go around and say nothing about Easter, which is the most sacred of traditions and celebrations in the Christian faith. Yeah, I don't add up where this is supposed to be. Oh, well, it happens every year. I don't care if it happens every year. I don't care if it's ever considered a celebration in any sense of the word any year ever, because it's a fake holiday for people who have mental illness. We don't celebrate mental illness. We should treat it. And we're seemingly not doing that in this country. And so I don't care if it's March 31st every year. I don't care if it's March 31st this year. Having it correspond with Easter in any way and calling yourself a Christian, those aren't compatible. They really aren't. And I'm not into the fact that we're claiming this is something that Joe Biden should do because he's president, and just to be a uniter, and he's president. Well, he's taking his own personal faith out of it, and no, people voted for him, large part because of claiming he's a Catholic, I would imagine, even though it's not really true. I don't understand why this has to happen, and we'll talk in the next segment about how much of our calendar is taken up by gayness and transgenders and all that nonsense. But I hope you all had a great Easter. I know I did. It was a great day. It was a day, that's for sure. Great food, great worship, all the things, and really honoring what yesterday was, which is Jesus Christ being resurrected, coming back to life, is incredibly notable, and it is important. And paying attention to how, not even trying to politicize it, but paying attention to how people celebrate it versus how some others celebrate it or some others disrespect it is incredibly telling. And you should think, if you're a Christian, you're a conservative, you're a Catholic, any of those three, and you have a politician celebrating Transgender Day of Awareness or whatever it's called on the same day as Easter Sunday, which is probably more sacred in Christianity than Christmas is, you should really reconsider your support of that person. Obviously you should anyway. But you're working against your religion and your values and your faith by backing these people. And really consider that when you go to the ballot box in November, or if you have primaries. If you have a Republican backing Transgender Day of Visibility, they need to go. And they shouldn't have been there in the first place. They need to go. And the people that are Republicans and Democrats alike who are backing this and promoting this, but all need to go. So when we return, we're going to talk about 3 months and 28 days. We'll discuss why that's so important here in a little bit. Plus, RFK Jr. might help us screw over Biden after all. Trump's immigration values, and even more. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to the Conservative Crusader, GOPJosh.com.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader. This is the Conservative Crusader.
Welcome back. This is the Conservative Crusader, GOPJosh.com. Listen, if you are a campaign, a business, you need consulting or logo design or graphics or digital ads or mailers or whatever you might need, Josh Political and Business Services can provide. If you need any of that sort of thing or any sort of services like that, you can go to email me, josh@gopjosh.com, or go to my LinkedIn, linkedin.com/gopjosh, and inquire there about our services. We are very affordable, very flexible, and we look forward to serving you. Josh Political and Business Services. So 3 months and 28 days. LGBTQ events, this is from Fox News, clog calendar as White House faces backlash over their Easter announcement. So here's what the proclamation said. It's funny because the White House banner had a big Easter bunny and eggs around it on the top of their website. And it said on the same screenshot, "You are America, transgender people. You are America." 0.1% of people, however many people are trans, are America. "And my entire administration and I have your back. Therefore, I, Joseph Robinette Biden, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution of the United Laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim March 31st, 2024, as Transgender Day of Visibility." So, cities, universities, LGBT organizations, government officials celebrate similar calendar events throughout the year, not just today. Fox News found 28 other related holidays, including International Asexuality Day, International Day of Pink, Day of Silence, Harvey Milk Day, Pansexual and Panromantic Awareness Day, that sounds fake, and International Drag Day. The Pride Month is June, obviously. Worst part about having a June birthday. LGBT History Month is October. And Transgender Awareness, get this, gets an entire month in November. An entire month of November for Transgender Awareness Day. And you're telling me, or Awareness Month, and you're telling me it's a coincidence their holiday falls on Easter. It's an attempt to degrade the Christian faith and the presence of it in our holidays and our celebrations in this country. It's not just, oh, it happens that way every... No, it doesn't happen that way every year. There's no need for this to happen that way every year. We have very, very few holidays to support our veterans. Very, very few days to support the people that make this country run, our police, firefighters, servicemen and women, even union members in some instances. Very few time to honor them. Right, the people that actually do things to make this country better, the people that pay attention to more than just their personal feelings and where they find romance, that pay attention to more than just what they personally want to desire, how they personally want to destroy the body God gave them, and they want to use it for personal gain, and they want to promote themselves and themselves alone and their values and who they want to have relations with and all that nonsense. All that nonsense. And so why are we as a country propping up the idea that we can have both of these things simultaneously? We can have a country, we can have values, we can have a Christian faith, we can have all of these sort of things where our country used to be lighting up the skylines with crosses. We've all seen that photo lately from the 60s. And yesterday they all light up a celebration of Transgender Day of Visibility. And if it was on March 31st of every year, I wouldn't be as peeved about it, although I don't believe it's a real holiday. And holidays traditionally were for landmarks, were for notable things in either faith or culture. We had July 4th, obviously, Independence Day. We have Christmas as December 25th. We have Easter that happens the same time every year, Thanksgiving, such a notable part of Americana. And now, because someone likes ice cream, we have International Ice Cream Day on July 18th or whatever day it is. because people feel like they want to no longer be the gender that they were born, they get their own month. The month of November, the entire month of November dedicated to transgender awareness. So not all of them are recognized by Congress, of course, or by the president, but the amount of them, 7 of them were celebrated by the White House, the Biden White House, over the last few years. National Coming Out Day in October. Lesbian Day of Visibility in April. International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia, and Biphobia. What is bi? I don't know what that even is. In May. Pride Month. Spirit Day in October. Intersex Awareness Day in October. And Transgender Day of Remembrance in November. So they have Day of Visibility. They have Awareness Month. Day of Remembrance in November. I genuinely think that's more holidays for these people that are mentally ill in many ways than there are holidays for our Lord and Savior. Especially when you add up this entire calendar, 28 days, 3 months. Biden says he's trying to bring people together by honoring Transgender Day of Visibility. You're not bringing people together by degrading the values of faith. And something that Biden claims to hold so dear is faith. He says he's a devout Catholic, this and that, goes to Mass, all of these things. But when it hits the fan, and when there's actually a chance to legislate morally, to put proclamations out morally, whoever's pulling the strings behind the scenes doesn't seem to care about Biden's personal faith, because they just go and they do what they want to do. Now, I am not going to sit here and tell you this is the biggest issue or the most prominent thing we can spend 16 minutes of this program talking about, but it really is important when you talk about the degradation of our society and our culture and where we want this country to go in the future and in my generation. If you want to go more woke, you want to go holding hands because they want to cry, you want to go making special ideologies and identities so they can have celebration and be praised by the world, keep going in the way we're going. But if we genuinely want to save this country, we need to stop putting up with the nonsense. Oh, well, it happens every year. No, that's not how this works. That's not how this works, and we need to take our country back. And we're not going to do that by standing still and letting Transgender Day of Awareness be perfectly fine. That's not how this works. We're not going to do that. So moving on here, RFK Jr., we're going to talk about him. I don't even think I've spoken about him since the Super Bowl on this program, but he has secured a spot on North Carolina's ballot. Biden is putting all sorts of resources. I think it's 10 different caucus, like camps or whatever, or offices across the state of North Carolina, trying to grow it for the left and grow it for Biden and their governor, who's going to face a tough challenger, and Mark Robinson, current lieutenant governor. And here's RFK Jr. hopping on. I really think that RFK is kind of our guy. Not for voting for him, and no Republicans should vote for him. But I have a theory that he's really helping Trump in a way. So we're going to talk about that here in just a second. But first, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has collected enough voter signatures to qualify for the presidential ballot in North Carolina. 16-11 electoral votes. Largest state where Kennedy has secured a place on the ballot so far, and it's honestly a really large place that Biden has to win with the way polling's going in Georgia, in Pennsylvania, in Nevada, assuming our elections are fair. Biden has to have some sort of ground in North Carolina, at least to gain the governorship there for Democrats. If they want any shot in the South in the future, North Carolina is the best shot. It is very bad for Democrats here. It's Trump is not going to lose that many votes to RFK. I believe that the enthusiasm from the right wing for RFK has died down, especially with the announcement of his vice president being a radical leftist Democrat, Biden funder, Bernie funder. I mean, all these things. It's really going to go in favor of Donald Trump here, especially with what's going on there. Because why would Robert F. Kennedy, wouldn't he be a true moderate, having people like Joe Manchin, who is no longer running for Senate, Democrat senator, Kyrsten Sinema, Democrat senator, not running again, Rob Portman, you know, John Kasich, all of these anti-Trump people, if they were actually going against Trump, then why would they be backing this leftist lady that has all the money? So I think it's going to help Trump in the long run that we have Robert F. Kennedy Jr. there. And it seems like as the domino pieces begin to fall, everything seems to fall into place for this 2024 election. It seems more and more likely that Trump is going to have infinite success. And we're going to talk about that a little more after the break. But we'll be right back after this. You're listening to The Conservative Crusader, brought to you by Josh Political and Business Services, josh@gopjosh.com. Our phone number, 574-675-6747. I know the number. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to The Conservative Crusader. This is The Conservative Crusader.
Well, welcome back. This is The Conservative Crusader. For those of you here in Ohio, the state where we broadcast from, and our patreon.com/GOP Josh Studios, make sure your cars are in the garage or whatever else you can do to kind of prepare for the insane weather coming tomorrow. We are in the 15% zone, the largest in the country, for a massive storm. It's not going to be really good. So make sure you stay safe, know your drills, all that fun stuff. We have all kinds of people that are notifying and covering it. I know Ryan Hall is a YouTuber that does it. Local news in Columbus has some sort of decent, media reporting, all those things. So just stay covered, stay safe here in the state of Ohio. It's incredibly important. And all the surrounding areas, Kentucky, Illinois, Indiana, West Virginia, Tennessee, all being sort of in the zone. So be careful and stay safe. So let's talk about immigration, shall we? And we're talking about kind of the perfect storm that leads to President Trump winning re-election. One of these is being Trump's messaging on immigration and how it's actually gaining a base of independents, of moderates, of people who traditionally wouldn't be Trump voters backing the president. So let's talk about this here. The video shared by former President Trump features horror movie music and footage of migrants purportedly entering the country. Do we have this video? Can we play this video? No, it just says there's a video. They're coming by the thousands, Trump said in the video posted on a social media site. We will secure the borders and we will secure sovereignty. Trump has ramped up his anti-immigration commentary and kind of publications about it. Yeah, I think we have the video here, don't we? Nope, that's just in the same article. It really looks good for President Trump with immigration. I'm trying to find this video so we can publish it and let you take a look at it and see it, because it's really important that we actually pay attention to what Trump is saying and not just kind of going with what the media says. So I can't seem to find the video here, but that's irrelevant. Trump has ramped up his anti-immigration commentary in the latest days as he seeks the White House for a third time, casting migrants as dangerous criminals poisoning the blood of America. Hitting on the nation's deepest fault lines of race and national identity, his messaging often relies on falsehoods about migration, but it resonates with many of his core supporters going back a decade to when Build the Wall chants began to ring out at his rallies. When you look at the country, when you look at, like, here in Ohio, where that one migrant was arrested for squatting in property, deported, that could have been another Lake and Riley incident, who is a young girl who died in Georgia. We don't remember. We didn't forget Lake and Riley, who Biden can't even pronounce her name. That's really scary when you look at it, and it's going to be really good to capitalize on as a party, is the fact that we are here in the state of Ohio where there was a migrant arrested for squatting on property rights. Not really a normal thing to have happen in the United States of America, right? An illegal migrant coming across the border and terrorizing our property. It's not how that works. And this is a country that's supposed to be built on, they say a melting pot. They call it a melting pot. I don't think it's really a melting pot. Built on values, right? We're supposed to have a country that's built on, and trying to let people get ahead and trying to get people ahead. That's not terrible, right? Trying to let people get ahead, help people out, people that are actually genuinely worried about where they come from. If they come here legally and through the right process, maybe we shouldn't be having as much legal immigration as we have in the past. But if you come here illegally, you should be deported. This is not a controversial take. In the days of the Lake and Riley incident, in the days of these people being deported for squatting, in the days where you'll look through, like, a lot of local police departments have apps now. I don't know if that's statewide or not, or nationwide or not, but there's a lot of police stations that have apps and everything else. That just talk about how they're being held, and it's like, oh yeah, held for ICE for potential deportation. Like, we're in rural Ohio. We're in the middle of nowhere, USA, thousands of miles, hopefully, from the southern border, and we have these people here. The immigration issue is going to resonate with the suburban woman, is going to resonate with the rural man, going to resonate with any sort of people, with immigrants who have been here legally, who are actually citizens that can vote, are going to be like, yeah, I don't want you coming here illegally, taking away what we've worked for. People like Bernie Moreno, running for U.S. Senate here in the state of Ohio, who has made a big deal out of the immigration issue, right? He is an immigrant, and he doesn't want this illegal stuff, illegal people coming in. And capitalizing on that, capitalizing on the events that are happening, are going to help President Trump win big, going to help Republicans like Bernie Moreno win big, going to help Republicans across the country win big. It's incredibly important, and I'm excited to see how it's going to help President Trump in the future and help this country in the future as we take back and we embark on the mission giving before us to take back this country, having that as sort of a strong issue that Biden has been incredibly weak on. He's tried to do things, made that stupid, weak immigration bill with Senator Langsford or whatever his name is from Oklahoma, a completely weak bill. He's going to try to use that as an argument saying, oh, well, we try to pass a bill. And the Republicans in Congress, they wouldn't pass the bill. And they don't like that bill. They don't like that. That doesn't work to people that are paying attention. And people are overly paying attention to this election with how massive it is, how important it is going into our future. People are paying attention. And I don't think just saying, oh, well, we tried to pass the bill is going to do anything. Not going to do anything. So let's talk about Trump in Florida now. Trump came to Ohio, rallied for Bernie Moreno. Bernie, by the way, I didn't need to talk about that race. Because it was crazy how big time Bernie won the primary. It was by 50%. He had half of the voters. With Matt Dolan, state senator, getting 32%. And Frank LaRose getting 16, current statewide elected official, been on the ballot statewide 4 times, I think. And he won big. Bernie never been on a ballot ever, won big. It's really notable Frank LaRose's downfall, because I never really cared for LaRose, but I was kind of friendly to him, like, hey, you're Secretary of State. But he got 16% statewide, and Bernie won every single county. It's incredibly notable that the anti-illegal immigration message that really only Bernie is highlighting, right, is really popular, is really, really prominent here. Also having the endorsements of President Trump, Rick Grenell, a whole slate, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 U.S. senators, 4 congressmen, 5 congressmen, governors, 2 statewide elected officials previously, a lot of just different people across the country, all kinds of Republican parties, organizations. He really had the people behind him. And immigration was a large part of his campaign here in the landlocked state of Ohio. It was a big deal. In comparison to the Rob Portman and Mike DeWine endorsed candidate, it's really big that Bernie won that. And so when we return, we're going to talk about even more news, because we cannot get away from the news. Florida Republicans helping Trump locking the nomination, obviously, voted for him big time against Ron DeSantis. Also, Air Force One. The president's plane being stolen from. The D.C. crime wave is out of control. We'll get into that after the break. You're listening to The Voice of the Future, GOPJosh.com. Brought to you by Josh Political and Business Services.
You're listening to The Conservative Crusader. This is The Conservative Crusader.
Welcome back. This is The Conservative Crusader, brought to you by I cannot even talk today. Brought to you by Josh Political and Business Services. Go to my LinkedIn, or you can go to josh@gopjosh.com. Send me an email about what you're trying to do. Florida Republicans helped Trump lock the nomination. He is now returning the favor to good Republicans. So, the former president is increasingly wading into politics in his adopted home state, rewarding allies and needling Governor Ron DeSantis after locking up the 2024 nomination, thanks in part to Florida Republicans. This is a report from Politico, and Kimberly Leonard from Politico, right at 7 a.m. a couple days ago. How do you post at 7 a.m. on the dot? That's insane. So, Trump is returning the favor to those in the state who supported him in the past couple of weeks. He ventured into already brewing 26 contests in this state and rewarded congressional allies with his coveted seal of approval, all as he's tried to mold Florida politics in his image. He thinks it's rewarding loyalty as a Florida-based Republican close to the former president who granted anonymity to speak candidly. The endorsements come amid a still boiling public feud between Trump and DeSantis, his vanished rival. He's still giving kind of advice to Trump on X on how to run a campaign. Trump doesn't need your advice, Ron. You lost big time. You're a loser, Ron. You lost big time, Ron. You lose. You lost. Trump recently endorsed Representative Gus, very effective. Bill Arrakis, Bill Posey, both endorsed Trump early in his presidential campaign. Bill Arrakis backed Trump before DeSantis got in the race. They all have challengers now. Trump endorsed State Rep. Randy Fine, the only Jewish Republican in the Florida legislature, who vocally flipped his endorsement from DeSantis to Trump and criticized the governor's record fighting anti-Semitism in the process. Trump also put into a challenge to Laurel Lee, who is a Republican, the only Florida member of Congress to endorse Ron DeSantis. It's also really important that Laurel Lee is a big-time establishment, just nothing. Like, she doesn't stand for anything on the congressional floor. And we really should, as a party, take serious the fact that we have hardcore Republican seats nationwide that are held by people who don't actually do anything of any sort of substance when they're there. We have seats like my personal congressional seat. That's held by a Republican that doesn't do a lot. We have Dave Joyce, who I believe he retired, held in a seat that doesn't really do a lot, and it's a strong Republican seat. We have seats across the country, Mike Gallagher's congressional seat, where he's resigning early, held by a Republican that doesn't really do a lot. They don't actually advance our ideology, advance our values, but just stand there and kind of, oh, well, I'm the hardcore Republican vote when we need it. No, we need firebrands across the country. That's why Alex Bruchowitz running in Wisconsin 8, we'll find out tomorrow, I guess, if he actually does that at the Trump rally in Wisconsin. He has my complete and total endorsement if he does decide to run, because he will be a firebrand that we need. Not really an MTG firebrand that's, like, crazy, but a firebrand nonetheless that'll actually do conservative values and actually fight for conservative things in Congress. And these hardcore Republican seats, like Laurel Lee's, like Mike Gallagher's, like Dave Joyce, like, what's the other guy, Bill Johnson, need to have strong Republicans that have some characterism, and like, Corey Mills, great example. He's a great, strong Republican in a strong Republican seat. He's who we should have in running in 435 congressional races outside of maybe, like, Mike Garcia in a couple races in New York. We should have rural North Dakota's congressman should be a Corey Mills. Our congressman in Montana should be a Corey Mills. And in North Dakota, South Dakota, Ohio, all the hardcore Republican states should be congressmen like Corey Mills, not congressmen like Laurel Lee, who's a loser. He just doesn't do anything. We need strong Republicans across the country. And one more story for the day, and then we're going to sign off. First of all, don't know when we're going to do the show. We're going to try to do it twice a week at the very minimum, hopefully three times, but we'll do what we can do, and we'll keep you all updated on my X page if you're not already following, x.gopjosh.com. For those of you requesting on the X spaces, we are a little late and running out of time to bring in callers, so we will do that again on the next edition of the program. Call back. Air Force One is experiencing massive petty theft as White House correspondents often try to sneak memorabilia from the president's personal plane. A piece featured in Thursday's Politico West Wing playbook. I don't actually read Politico that often, but but I have to say, it's pretty funny to read sometimes when it's like the real DC crime wave. I'm like, okay, it's gonna entice me. For years, scores of journalists and others have quietly stuffed everything from engraved whiskey tumblers to wine glasses to pretty much anything with the Air Force One insignia on it into their bag before stepping off the plane. The piece said, describing the practice as rampant thievery. The practice has become shockingly common, the article disclosed, so much so that White House Correspondent Association President Kelly O'Donnell emailed members of the White House press corps telling them to knock it off. WHCA, White House Correspondents Association members, said this off-the-record email was real. One reporter told Politico how another White House correspondent encouraged them to take stuff during their flight, saying, on my first flight, the person next to me was like, you should take that glass, everyone does it. Stories spilled forth from former and current White House correspondents who were asked about the stealing. One mentioned that the thievery wasn't confined to just reporters, but lawmakers as well. There's one about the senator in the front of a plane who, as a chatty aide, told reporters was taking everything not bolted down. Several colleagues of one former White House correspondent for a major newspaper described them hosting a dinner party where all the food was all the food was served on gold-rimmed Air Force One plates, evidently taken over time. Air Force One is taking attention. The plane's crew inventoried items following the trip and notified the White House that several items were missing from the press cabin. They have a separate cabin there for the press members and everyone else. It's a very big plane, I hear. One individual who received the email, in fact, had gotten off the plane with an embroidered pillowcase. The theft needs to stop, the piece said after speaking with him, and the White House official said that. One former White House official clarified the incident still hadn't added up to a massive amount of theft. It was petty, chronic grift. They appreciated that Kelly O took it seriously and sent that note. I find it hilarious, genuinely. And I was sitting there reading that, just laughing. Yeah, at my office, where we have people who are supposed to be the reporters on moral authority in this country, supposed to report on news and theft and all these things, stealing and being immoral and taking from the plane. Now, if I ever get the chance to fly on Air Force One when President Trump is in the White House again, I will ask if I can take a whiskey glass, right? Because who wouldn't want a white Air Force One whiskey glass? But you don't just take things from your workplace. From the people of the country. It's not even just the president's plane. It's the people of the country own that plane, and you're taking that from them. Incredibly notable when you see the way people show their true colors when they're not being watched, but there's cameras all over that plane. I'm sure if it was a serious problem, they could get footage of it. But also, what's so special about a plate? Like, plates serve their purpose. And if I had the chance to fly on Air Force One, it'd be cool, but like, you're on Air Force One. Take a selfie. They provide you like a signed official document that's like a ticket that says, here, I flew on Air Force One. That's enough. You don't need to be special. Don't need to be anything stupid. Just be a reasonable person. Don't take stupid stuff. And if you work at the White House, do you really want to be seen as a criminal? As a thief? Anyways, my friends, we appreciate you listening to today's edition of the Conservative Crusader, brought to you by Josh Political and Business Services, josh@gopjosh.com. Our phone number to leave a voicemail if you want to call in, 574-675-6747. And we will be back with you all again very soon. gopjosh.com. See you all later. Stay safe, stay healthy, and most importantly, stay tuned. Good night, folks.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader.